Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
1 Peter 2:9, it says this, "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. 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 Does that describe you today? He called you out of darkness, and now you are in his marvelous light. Amen. You may be seated. He declares us chosen. That means out of all the billions of people on the face of this earth, we were chosen by God. Look at somebody and say, "I am chosen." Look at somebody else and say, "I am royal." Look at somebody else and say, "I am holy." Look at somebody and say, "I belong to God. I'm his very own possession." Thank you, Jesus. He purposefully, on purpose, called us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. And the reason for that is because he loves us. But the second reason is because he wants us to declare his praises and proclaim how excellent he is so that he can call somebody else out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are his witnesses to the world. How? By showing forth his praises. It's amazing how many times that phrase appears, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, for someone to be told or someone saying that they are showing forth the praises of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:21, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." Psalm 79:13 says, "So we thy people and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." So we are meant to show forth the praises of God. This very phrase indicates that our praise is to be seen and to be heard by those around us. It means to make something visibly or audibly evident, not just through words, but through actions as well. So we have a biblical responsibility to publicly express and showcase the greatness of our God. Praise has to be a lifestyle for God's people, not a Sunday occurrence, a lifestyle, not just when something good happens, a lifestyle. That means every day, all day long, there should be a praise for your God on your lips, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter who is around you. Praise God. Through the years of teaching, when I broach this particular subject, I usually hear from someone who feels that they are excused or exempted from showing forth God's praise because of his or her personality. And the reason I'm so familiar with this excuse is because it is the one that I personally gave for years. I was extremely, painfully shy as a child. And even when I became an adult, I could not have done what I'm doing right now. I absolutely could not do it. I would not go anywhere without Steve, because Steve was my spokesperson. I didn't speak for myself at all. So I was very, very shy. And when I knew that my time for show and tell in my classroom was coming up, I would just get physically sick so that I couldn't go to school. And I'd beg my mom, no, I can't go today. I'm so sick, because the thought of getting up in front of people and showing forth show and tell was not something that I could do. But as you can see, I've been delivered. I finally realized that it's not about me, it's about him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I made it all about me, but it wasn't about me at all. So on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., it is our show and tell time. Not just up here, Not just for the people who stand on the platform, not just for the people who fill the altar, but from wall to wall, side to side, back to front, everywhere, no matter where you're sitting, if you're sitting on a purple pew right now, or if you're standing in this building. 9 a.m. is a time for show and tell. 9 a.m. is a time to show forth the praises of God. Because if you don't feel comfortable showing forth the praises of God in here, there's not a chance you're going to show forth the praises of God on your job in the morning. Or even in your home. Hallelujah. All of us are called to show forth God's praises. You might not come to the altar area, but you are called to show forth God's praise no matter where you are in the building. But Monday morning, when you get up in the morning and you're getting your family ready for the day, it's show forth God's praises time. And when you arrive to work, you have a whole new audience that you can show forth God's praises in front of. Because every day, all day long, we are to show forth the praises of God. There's nowhere in the Word that exempts anyone from showing forth God's praises. Don't try to use your shyness or your reticence or your reserved nature as an excuse not to praise, because praise is never contingent on your personality. It is contingent on your obedience to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Oh, I knew that would be popular today. I know that you see the people who come to the altar to praise during praise and worship, and you might wonder why all of that is necessary. Or perhaps you might be a little envious of their braveness to come to the front. But you must realize that what we are doing is we are showing forth the praises of God. Not because it's agreeable to our flesh. There's some mornings that I don't feel like doing this. But because the Word of God instructs us to do so. So comfortable or not, the flesh must be crucified so that the Word of God can be obeyed, so that God can be glorified in our lives, lifted high, so that He can draw all men unto Him. So praise is a commandment. Everybody say a commandment. Because you know what, I'm going to talk to you about understood subjects, because every time I get in the pulpit, I'm going to talk to you about the fact that the understood subject is always you. Praise is a commandment, and it's applicable to all equally. So let's look at a couple of passages that further prove this statement to be true according to the Word of God. Hebrews 13 and 15 says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, how? Continually, when? Continually, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Psalm 149:1, praise ye the Lord, a commandment. You praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, another commandment. Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of His saints. See, everybody was supposed to be singing while ago. You weren't supposed to be watching them and listening to them sing. You were supposed to be singing, because everybody's supposed to be singing in the congregation of saints. How many of you are saints and you're in the congregation? You're called to sing. Praise God. And my favorite is this: praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And then He says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, I don't know how you plan to exempt yourself from that when He said, let everything that hath breath, because if you are breathing today, that applies to you. If I am breathing today, that applies to me. Amen? Is there any doubt that we are all commanded to show forth the praise of God? No, there's no doubt. And there are so many salient points that we need to garner from these passages in this 150th Psalm. In Psalm 150, He tells us where to praise. Everybody say where. He said in His sanctuary and in the firmament of His power. In His sanctuary is inside a building. in the firmament of his power is outside. Now, you're either inside or outside. But it doesn't matter whether you're inside or outside, you are still to show forth the praises of God. And even if you're standing in the doorway and one foot is outside and one foot is inside, you still have to praise God. This is a commandment. Hallelujah. It covers it all. Also in Psalm 150, he tells us how to praise through song, through dance. That means that our physical bodies have to be involved from head to toes. Now, not all of us can do the same thing, but we need to try. Amen. More passages that tell us how to praise from head to toes. Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands. See, this should be happening in church. Whether you got rhythm or not, this should be happening in church. Clap your hands, because we have been commanded, and I don't know how God gets glory out of that, but he does. He asked for it. He wants that. And he said, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And I know some of you that are so shy, you don't think you have the ability to even shout, but I'm sure that sometime something has gotten on your nerves badly enough that you raised your voice. And we're not going to ask for a show of hands between husbands and wives as to who can shout the loudest. Give God a shout of triumph. No. In a building like this, full of this many people, there should be more than that. Give God a shout of triumph. Yes. Yes. You know what that shout of triumph means? You know what the word triumph means? I won. I won. So every time you win, every time God turns something around for you and you win, you ought to go somewhere and give God a shout of triumph. Woo! How many of you like to win? If you like to win, learn how to win. When you win, give God a shout of triumph. But let's take it a step further. When you haven't seen the win that you want, but you have faith that it's coming, you go ahead and shout in advance. Woo! Amen. 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 This is a commandment. Shout. You shout with a voice of triumph. Luke 6:23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, I cannot leap in these heels. I'm not even sure that I can leap without the heels. But you know what I can do? I can do from a knee up. Leap for joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes you need to leap so that that joy can manifest itself. Sometimes you need to wait. Instead of waiting for the joy to come and then leaping, you leap for joy. He said right here, because your reward is in heaven. They haven't even received the word reward, but he wants them to go ahead and leap for joy. Those of you that are young and strong and flexible, I want you to get up and leap for me. Just leap in my place. Amen. Amen. See, we need to see a lot of that. We need to see a lot of it. Amen. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises unto him. This is found in Psalm 149. That means dance and sing. Dance and sing. That means you dance and you sing, not just up here, but back there, here, in every section. And then he tells us the when. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, we're talking about showing forth the praises of God. I will bless the Lord how many times? When? At all times. That means when things are going really, really good, and when things are going really, really bad. when your body is really, really healthy, when your body is giving you problems, when your marriage is, oh, so good, and when your marriage is, oh, so bad. All the time, continually, continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And in this verse, he tells us when to praise, all times, continually, and that covers it all. And the why, he gives us the why. He gives us one of the foremost reasons why in Psalm 22 and 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And we say it this way, God inhabits our praise. There are many reasons why to praise God, and every one of them are important, but we should keep this one at the forefront of our minds and spirits at all times, because praise brings God into your situation immediately. Sometimes prayers get hindered, but praise brings him in immediately. That's what the word says. He inhabits the praise. That means he comes from where he is to where you are, and he moves in to your praise. See, you inhabit your house. That's where you live. God lives in your praise. So if you don't offer praise, God ain't living where you need him to be living. Because, see, it's a God that's afar off, and sometimes it's hard to have faith in a God that's afar off, since you can't see him. But when you know that the word says that when you praise, he comes where you are and inhabits your praise, that means that he is in the middle of your situation with you. He is the fourth man in your fire. When you praise. And with God, when he comes into our situation, comes all that he is: healer, deliverer, redeemer, provider, waymaker, heart fixer, mind regulator, anything that you need, he's going to bring it with him. He doesn't leave it in heaven. Everything is encompassed in him. He has it all because he is God. And with him comes all that he has: grace and peace and joy and hope and love, all of those things. So why would we cheat ourselves out of this kind of divine intervention simply because we cannot find it within ourselves to obey the word of God and offer up praise continually? Make it our business to show forth his praise every day, all day long, no matter where we are. There are two accounts in the Word of God that we will look at. One is in the Old Testament, the other is in the New Testament. And they are very, very familiar scriptures to most of you in this house. But they bear out what I am saying, and that's why I want to read them today. In 2 Chronicles, verse 20, we read about Jehoshaphat. Most of you know that story. His army was being threatened by their multiple enemies. They didn't have just one enemy. They had many enemies. And they were greater in number. They were stronger. They were more powerful in the natural. And Jehoshaphat was afraid for his people. And the Bible said he set himself to seek God. Now, we talked about prayer a couple of Sundays ago. He set himself to seek God, which is what we should do when we are faced with something that is something we cannot handle. So the Bible said that all of Judah, the whole crowd of Judah, stood before the Lord with all of their families. That means husbands and wives, all the children were standing there. They were in a place together, and a word came from one of the people that were in the place, a word from God. And the Lord said this: be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's a word for somebody today. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. He will fight your battles. He will fight your battles. He will your battles. If only you just be still. So verse 17 said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. So the battle's not ours, but it's God's, and we don't need to fight. Can it really be called a battle if we're not going to fight? Because we don't need to fight. Because our battle is fought by God, who inhabits our praise. When we praise him and bring him in, if there's a battle to be fought, let him fight it. Let him take care of it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And in verse 21, Jehoshaphat appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now this makes no sense. There's no general alive on the face of this earth that would think that that was a good plan to send singers before the army and let them sing and give praise unto God. This shows you the power that is in praise. The power that is in praise. And they praised him before the victory was won. You do understand that. I don't know if any of them were fearful as the singers walked toward the army. I don't know if any of them were fearful. I just know that they did what God commanded them to do, and they praised God. And the Bible says in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemies that had come against Judah, and they died. They were smitten. They outnumbered Judah, yet all of them died. He didn't leave not one of them to trouble Israel again. They all died. God did a work that was complete and finished. Do you think God loves Jehoshaphat more than you? More than me? No, he does not. But we have to follow, obey the word just like Jehoshaphat did, to the letter, even if it doesn't make sense, because we're going to end up being able to shout with a voice of triumph. I know it doesn't look like it right now because the army is right in front of us and all we have is our shaky little voices trying to sing. But there will be a shout of triumph. Hallelujah. And this is something that's just amazing to me, because if it wasn't enough that God smote the entire armies that were against them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because it was so much. Now, is that God? Is that God or what? Because our God is never satisfied just to give you victory. He's got to put jewels and riches in there too. He's got to provide for you and make you famous because you make him famous. Oh my goodness, there's so much to be gleaned from this account. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. The battle's not yours. It's God's. Don't fight. Set yourself. Be still. Watch God. Sing and praise when you face your enemy. Sing and praise when you face your enemy. Sing and praise when you face your enemy. God will fight your battle and your enemy will be smitten. Now, we ain't trying to kill nobody, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. That means that their influence over you will be smitten. They will no longer be able to trouble you in any way. Amen. They will not be allowed to get on your last nerve anymore. They can never get up in your face again. And you get to walk away with all the enemy's stuff, his riches, precious jewels. So the enemy that you face today may seem stronger than you. There might be multiple enemies that are greater in number. They may even seem more powerful than you, but that does not mean that they win. You win. You win. You win because you stand still, you set yourself, you let God fight your battles for you, and you sing and praise in the middle of all of it. So if you're a praiser in the midst of the battle, if you know that you win even before the battle commences and God fights on your behalf, you will walk away with everything that the enemy tried to take from you. See, you should come out of every battle richer than when you went in. Somehow you should come out with more stuff than you had when you went in. Amen, because that's God. That's how he blesses his children. Now, in the New Testament, one of my favorite testimonies of all time is found in Acts 16. It's the account of Paul and Silas in prison, and they were incidentally in prison for doing what was right. They weren't in prison because they acted up. They were in prison because they did what was right. They were preaching the gospel, and it made everybody angry. And I just need to say this to some of you. I hope you don't end up in prison, but preach the gospel wherever you go, even if it angers people. Now, don't have a bad attitude, and don't tell them they're going to hell. Quit that. Quit that. Make Jesus attractive. Don't scare them with hell. Make Jesus attractive. And you do that by showing forth praise. So Acts 16, 25 and 26 says this, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And the prison, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed," or bands were loosed. Now, they're in prison. They're in the center of a dark, dank prison. They are in chains, bound. It's midnight. They're in there for doing what was right. They're in there for preaching the gospel, okay? They could have whined. They could have complained. I'm talking to somebody today. They could have said, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? God, I know this is not your will. God, you could have kept this from happening. God, why? Why are we in prison for doing your work? Why did you let this happen? We were working for you." Now, you can act like you had never said that to God, and you may never have put it in words, but in your mind, you're thinking, "God, this should not be happening to me. You should have kept this from happening. You could have kept this from happening, but you didn't, and you want to know why." So there's no doubt that there was an attack against Paul and Silas. There's no doubt that the prison was not where they would have chosen to spend the night. But there was no whining, no complaining, only prayer and praise. We've got to get so full of God, people, that no matter where we find ourselves, in what situation we find ourselves, we're still able to pray and praise. Without murmuring, without complaining, without wondering why, just put it behind us and do what we've been called to do, which is show forth the praise of God. So Paul and Silas showed forth the praises of him who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the end result. They didn't come away with jewels and riches. They came away with revival. Because they were freed from prison. The other prisoners, as well as the guard, were all saved and baptized that night. Because you know why? The Bible said that the prisoners heard them singing praise. See, you think that your song doesn't matter because you don't have a microphone on a Sunday morning. But your song of praise matters. It matters on your job. It matters in your home. It matters to you personally. It matters to those around you, because who knows who's listening to that? Who knows the hell one of your co-workers has been going through. And they listen to you, praise God. And you know, when you praise, even in your workplace, God comes in and inhabits that praise. And now they can feel a presence. They don't know what it is. They have no idea what has happened. But they just know that whatever it is that they see in you, they really want it. They really want it because you're showing forth his praise. He's able to save people through you because you praise even in a bad, bad situation. You want to be a soul winner? Learn how to show forth God's praise in the midst of those who don't know God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him use your praise to win people to him. Praise God. Stand with me, please. In my decades of serving God, there have been multitudes of times when I needed a miracle. Sometimes it was blinding pain in my body. Sometimes it was dire financial need. Steve has told you our stories when we had nothing. In fact, we would have had to have something to be able to say we had nothing. Nothing. Sometimes my heart was so broken that it was difficult to breathe. But here I stand today, a walking, talking, praising miracle. Why am I still standing? Because I learned the value of showing forth praise while my body is in pain. Because when I'm in pain, I don't say, when you take this pain away, I'll praise you. No, I praise him because he inhabits my praise, and then when he's here, he can go ahead and deal with the pain. I learned to praise when my bank account was empty, when I had nothing, when I didn't know where the next dollar was coming from, didn't know if it would be enough to cover what we needed. I praised. I praised through every heartbroken season. I praised. And when I praised, it took my focus off of the things that I could not change. The pain, the lack, the brokenness, and put all of my attention on the only one who could change all of these things. And because he promised to inhabit my praise, when I showed forth his praise, he showed up. And when he showed up, he showed out. Always. Always. When I was sick, I showed forth his praise and he showed up as my healer. When I was in lack, I showed forth his praise and he showed up as my provider. When my heart was broken, I showed forth his praise and he came as the lover of my soul. When it finally occurs to us that we can't fix things ourselves, I pray that we will wake up to the realization that we can praise the Waymaker into any situation. I know that it's quite difficult to praise God in those really challenging times, but the sacrifice of praise is worth it every time. It's worth every moment you engage in it because it connects you to God in such a way that reminds you how precious you are to him. And that he will withhold no good thing from you. So if you do this, you will end up like Jehoshaphat and his people, free and safe from the enemies entirely because they showed forth the praises of God. And they weren't just blessed with deliverance from their enemies, they were blessed with tangible goods as well. And his word reminds you that just as he did for Paul and Silas, you will end up free from the prison that had you bound, and you will free everyone around you. Do you know if you could be free today, you could free your family? How many of you have family members that need to be free? And through you, they will come to know how great your God really is. Because again, praise takes your focus off of yourself and your problems, and it puts it on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who can do all things. Don't come to the altar today and ask God to make you a praiser. That's not His job. Come to the altar today and become a praiser. Just determine you will be a praiser. If you're sick, if you're lost, if you're broken, if you're disillusioned, if you're disheartened, no matter what you face, come to the altar today, because we're going to praise God for the next few moments. And as we praise God and you join in that praise, I believe God will inhabit your praise. See, inhabits the praise of His people. If you're His people, He will inhabit your praise.